Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. And welcome to this week's podcast. Well, in the entertainment portion of this podcast, ordinarily, as you know, I always cover different theater companies or theatrical productions in the city. I love theater, and so many of you do too. But the art of dance is also so very important in the art of Chicago, and perhaps you attend a lot of events, maybe at the Auditorium Theater and so many wonderful dance companies. There is a sort of homegrown dance company you should know about in Chicago. I know about them because years ago I actually got to judge one of their evenings, which was Dancing with Chicago Celebrities. It was great fun, even though I didn't know anything about dance, but they were okay with that. Let's talk about some upcoming programs and really the mission of the Giordano Dance Chicago Group. Joining me now is the executive director of Giordano Dance, and that's Michael McStraw. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
Now, your artistic director, Nan Giordano, the daughter of the famed Giordano, for which this company is named, as they've created just an amazing thing. What do you think it is? It's a general dance question. Dancing with the Stars, all this kind of stuff. It's almost as though those kinds of shows have really put dance in the forefront of people's minds. They love it.
They do. They do. And I think that's one of the success, the factors that contributed to the success of Giordano Dance Chicago. We are in our 54th anniversary season, which for a dance company is an extraordinary milestone. And the way that we got there is to take that energy and passion that came from our founder, Gus Giordano, and continue that legacy in that we know exactly where we exist on the continuum that can be dance. Dance can be pure entertainment and fun. It can be, on the other end, it can be something that's very intellectually dense and it takes a lot of thought to get into it. We happily occupy that space right smack dab in the middle. And so we have this everyman quality about what our dancers do, and you don't just see them on stage, you feel them as well. And I think those are contributing factors to our success within this ever-growing attention being paid by America to the field of dance.
Is it fair enough to say, when I think of Giordano Dance Chicago, for me, you're about jazz and contemporary. Is that fair enough?
That's correct. We are America's original jazz dance company, formed in 1963. But one of the things about the art form of American jazz dance is, it's, as Gus had said, it's an art form that's always trying to reinvent itself, trying to shape itself into something new. And it borrows freely from different art forms. You know, it has the groundedness of modern dance. It has the rhythms of African dance and Irish step dancing. And now, in latter years, it also has the viewpoint of contemporary dance. Our rep, we have 163 pieces that we've created over the 54 years we've been in existence, and we have ballroom, we have classic jazz, we have Broadway jazz, we have contemporary, we have hip-hop, we have some silly pieces, we have just all those things that come from the groundedness and the regal quality that Giordano Dance Chicago possesses within the art form of jazz dance.
Well, since we're getting some folks excited about what you're doing, I want to talk about an upcoming event that's more or less around the corner, and it's something called Lost in This World. It's a world premiere, right? People
that's
will be able to
right.
see it on March 31st, April 1st. Tell us about it. What are we in for?
So this is a world premiere work from Liz Imperio. Liz is often called choreographer to the stars. She has worked with J-Lo, with Madonna, with Gloria Estefan. And in fact, she has a cameo role in La La Land. It was very exciting to look on the screen and see our buddy Liz. But Liz attributes her start in the commercial end of dance through Gus Giordano. He helped her early on in her career, and she has a fondness in her heart for this organization and for our founder. This is the third work that Liz has created for us. She's done other pieces that really tie into her Cuban-American heritage. But this piece is about, it's got a narrative about a person facing good and evil. And it's tied to more commercial dance, that which you might see in television advertisements or on Dancing with the Stars or So You Think You Can Dance, that flavor of dance. And it's a very exciting piece for us. Again, it's the third one that Liz has created for us. We had a very dense January this year in that we created two new works within a four-week run. So our dancers' brains were full of lots of new movement.
I love it. I'm also, for a long time, a fan of River North Dance Chicago.
Yes.
And, of course, the incredible artistic director, Frank Chavez, and I was actually at his final, it wasn't his performance, but his final a final show where they kind of did a tribute to him throughout. Maybe you were there as well. And it was very emotional. I mean, videos of him and watching him through his career, and, of course, he's you know, been ill, and so that's presented a lot of difficulties. But am I right that part of this Lost in the World is, in many ways, a tribute to the great work of Frank Chavez?
Well, actually, Frank's involvement is a different work. So Lost in This World is the name of the work from Liz.
So, okay, I thought Grusin Suite. I'm talking about Grusin Suite.
Grusin Suite, that's right.
I'm sorry, so I thought it was integrated in that. So go ahead, clarify.
Yeah, so this piece has a wonderful heritage behind it. Frank, when he came to Chicago back in the 80s, he actually danced with Giordano Dance Chicago. And then he went off and he did other things. He danced with Hubbard Street and ended up helping to co-found River North Dance Chicago. And as you mentioned, he was at the helm of that organization for 25 years and a very illustrious, very valuable organization for the city of Chicago. And now that he's retired, we wanted to go back and explore a piece that he had created on us in 1993 that had premiered at the Skyline stage. And it was Frank's first major work in Chicago. It's called Grusin Suite. He's taken that piece and he's developed it over the years, added another section. And so after many decades, we're bringing this piece back to the organization. And that will be part of the program March 31st and April 1 as well, a major reconstruction of Grusin Suite.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Is Frank involved? Is he still around? He is around?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's still very much in Chicago, still choreographing. And part of those two works that we did in January, half of the month was Frank and half of the month was Liz. So, again, the dancers had a lot to learn and retain in a short amount of time.
Fantastic. There's also, obviously, through the spring, there's so many things from your repertoire coming up. Let me just toss a couple of them out to you just to kind of let people know a little bit about what they'd see. The piece called Divided Against.
Yes, by Peter Chu.
Peter Chu
is an up-and-coming choreographer. He created this work for us. It premiered at the Harris Theater, where we are a resident company. He had premiered this work last spring, and it is an exciting piece because it is something very different for us. Again, that trying to find those connections between what is jazz dance and what continues to move the art form forward. He created this work that is completely different for anything we've ever done before.
And coming up, we get Nan working again, Nan Giordano, as she works on a ritual dynamic, right, and a restaging?
Yeah, that John piece Lair's is work. Choreographed by John Lair, a former company member of ours who now has his own dance company in Buffalo. And that piece was originally staged for 10, but our second company, our Giordano 2, is such that we have such wonderful dancers in there, we try to bring them to the stage as much as possible. So Nan is restaging this work to have all 16 of our dancers. And if you think you have a lot of energy with our main company, you should see it when the stage is filled with 16 dancers. It's just unbelievable.
Talk to me a little bit about Sneaky Pete. That's a piece from about a year and a half ago or so, Brock Clausen's.
It's a great piece. It's another piece with a narrative. There is a character called Sneaky Pete. The work is a nod to film noir, so it's got those sharp black and white angles, and it's very fast, lots of incredible partnering. But this guy, Sneaky Pete, is literally sneaking his way through the cast, and there is a woman in red who is not very happy with him. She makes that point known. It's a great piece. And, you know, collectively, these pieces together really help to take our audience on a journey. That's one of Nan Giordano's incredible strengths, is to program in such a way that you get a different taste for musical genre, for dance style, for emotional component, so that when you travel with us through one of our programs, you end on a high note and you just want to come back and see more.
We'll talk about telling a story, and I think I've seen this in the past, The Man That Got Away, written I think in the early 90s, but talk about that. It's a pas de deux for one, and I don't even know what that means, but I just like saying pas de deux for one.
Well, pas de deux is a dance for two from the French, but in this case, there is a woman who is doing the dancing, and then there is a man on stage who is pretty immobile throughout. And it is danced to that great piece of music sung by Judy Garland. The work comes from Sherry Zunker. Sherry had gifted us this piece in honor of Gus Giordano, and it's something that is fun and brings a lot of laugh and high energy to our audience. So it's great to bring this piece back for this very cool weekend.
Yeah, so again, March 31st, April 1st is the weekend people can see these, but also, am I right, on April 1st in the evening, there's actually a special post-performance event going on.
That's right. So our patrons are encouraged to join us afterward at the Harris Theater. Once the performance is done, about 9:30, we will serve some beverages to our patrons in the in their seats, and then when the crew has dismantled a few things on stage, we will bring all of our gala patrons up onto the stage with us for some refreshments, for some food, for conversation with the dancers, and to toast Megan McHale. She is one of our dancers in the main company who is celebrating our 10th anniversary with us. So it's a very exciting, multifaceted weekend, from the performances on Friday and Saturday, as well as the benefit performance after on the Harris stage. And there's nothing more thrilling than turning around and seeing that wonderful space from a different point of view.
You mentioned Megan McHale, but I should also note she was one of Dance Magazine's top 25 to watch a few years back. But nevertheless, for these last 10 years she's been with the company, she has indeed been somebody to be watching.
Yeah, it's true. She's not very tall and doesn't weigh very much, but I like to call her our resident linebacker. She's got more power than most folks.
Well, I am not very tall either, but I weigh more than she does. So for people that are interested in attending either these the wonderful gala events or just learn more about about Giordano Dance Chicago, I've got the website, but you give it to them. Where do you want them to go?
Sure. For information on the benefit, the gala, if they would go to giordanodance.org, that would be wonderful.
I'm going to spell that.
For tickets for the performance. Oh, yes, it's G-I-O-R-D-A-N-O. dance.org.
Got it, okay.
And then for tickets, they want to go to the Harris Theater box office, which is 312-334-7777.
And, of course, there's you've got a fall lineup. I mean, we've been concentrating on what's happening here in the spring with this gala, but the truth is people ought to be checking you out anyway at giordanodance.org because every year there's performances all year long that people need to be checking out.
Absolutely. It's a great place to get information on the company. The company is touring quite a bit. We're in Wisconsin early part of this year after having done some other stuff in Alabama. And then immediately after this performance, they'll be touring in Latvia, which
really?
Is pretty exciting to be in three different festivals across that country.
Wow. And if folks have too much to drink at the gala, will they be able to get up and just start dancing on their own?
You bet.
Oh,
anything's possible, Paul.
That's a promise. All right. GiordanoDance.org is the place to check it out. There was also a different phone number for the gala tickets, Michael, which was 312-922-1332.
Correct. That's the Giordano office. We'd love to field calls from that.
All right. So Executive Director Michael McStraw filling us in on all that's coming up. Please check out the website. Check out the event. Attend the event. I got to tell you, they do great stuff. And if you're smart, you'll never let me judge a Dancing with Shooting Stars again.
I'm sorry I missed you when you had that honor of judging for Dancing with the Giordano
well,
Stars,
Paul. I'm kind of having fun with it. The truth is I really tried to do a really good job when I did
it. So, wonderful. I appreciate that support.
All right. Thank you, my friend. And give Nan my best. Haven't talked to her in a little bit. And people that have questions, once again, GiordanoDance.org. Check them out. It's an event you won't want to miss. March 31st.
Great.
April 1st, a great gala. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks so much, Paul. I appreciate
you
spending time with us.
You got it.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living.
Well, I know you know that song. I mean, Dolly Parton made it so famous, 9 to 5. It's just a classic. And, in fact, so classic that several years ago, it became a movie. It became a Broadway show. I think all of this came from the song, the 9 to 5, and everything came from it. It's a show that's set in the late 1970s. It's about friendships. It's a little revenge, all sorts of stuff. All that came from that wonderful song. Well, you've got an opportunity to see that show in the Chicago area at the Woodstock Opera House. We're going to tell you when and where and all that kind of stuff in a little bit. But first, I want you to meet one of the stars of the show, and that is Kevin Pollak, who is well known here in Chicago for his work playing Roger Ebert, if you remember the Roger Ebert, a love story that was over at the Black Ensemble Theater. He also played Joe Cocker at that theater in an amazing way. He's been part of Blues Brothers shows and presentations. This is one of the most talented actors in Chicago, and we've got him here for a few minutes. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
So you know, your work is so diverse to me, and in some ways you are, you know, here you are sort of embodying real people like Roger Ebert, like Joe Cocker,
sure.
or you know, the kind of the real person of the Blues Brothers in some ways, because we know kind of we have an image of them.
Yeah.
What kind of roles do you like to play? Because this is different for you. 9 to 5 is the musical is a step away from you for you.
Oh, well, you know, my background, I've been doing theater for God knows how long, and you know, it's nice to come back to an actual story musical that's not based on somebody.
The pressure's different, right?
It is. It is, because there's a lot more involved. Like when I worked with Black Ensemble playing Joe Cocker, you know, getting to be the first person to portray him since his death, as well as Roger Ebert, there's a lot of pressure on that and having to live up to expectations. This is a show where just people know the movie, but the movie and the musical are so different that I could create something brand new off of it and make it my own.
And by the way, talk about pressure. I don't know about Joe Cocker, but when you did Roger Ebert, I was there at opening night. Sitting on one side of me, an empty chair with Roger's scarf on it and flowers. It was reserved for Roger, who always sort of sat in the front row of movies whenever I would see him. And, of course, you had to do that performance in front of his widow, Chaz Ebert. I don't think I've ever asked you about that. We're going to talk about 9 to 5, but you know what? I've got you. What was that like, playing that role, and you've got his wife watching you play her husband?
It was very nerve-wracking. I remember talking to Rashada, who played Chaz in the show with me, Rashada Dewan, and I was just saying, this is a lot to live up to. You know, especially with the whole Ebert family coming to see the show and Siskel's wife and everyone who knew him and loved him, that was probably the hardest role I've had to play for everybody that knew him, to try to get all the mannerisms down and everything. But one of the coolest things is Chaz was so welcoming to me and was willing to answer anything that I had to ask regarding Roger or their relationship. You know, she brought us to her home, and I got to experience sitting in Roger's chair, trying on his actual glasses and seeing the surroundings that he lived in his last days. And that was really a spectacle to see, and it really helped shape the role of Roger for me, and I felt the spirit of him. You know, Chaz really believes that he's still there, and I do too, and I felt it. And that empty chair, it was very surreal, because at one point in the show, I played him from age 50 to 71, and I'm 30 years old. So, I mean, that's a big difference for me. But in that last scene of the death scene, I looked up, and I swear I saw his face. And I...
It might have been me, because I was sitting next to that chair.
Yeah, I know you're sitting next to him. I was second-guessing myself, and then I asked Chaz afterwards. I said, I thought I saw Roger. She goes, I'm not surprised that I saw him tonight. So it's you know, the magic of his life still embraces, you know, today and everyone that knows him.
Fantastic. All right, but that's not why we're talking. I'm just glad we got to talk about that. But we're talking about 9 to 5, the musical. And talk to me about how you got involved. This is going on in the Woodstock Opera House, although it's being performed not by the Woodstock Opera Company, right? It's a theater company out there, and this is the venue for it, which is a great venue.
Correct. Yeah, the theater company is the Woodstock Musical Theater Company. They're a great group. They've been around for a long time. There's two companies, Town Square Players and this company that's putting on 9 to 5. that's been in the Opera House. And I've done many shows at the Opera House before I started doing the Black Ensemble Theater, where I've done The Drowsy Chaperone, which is a great, funny show, as well as Little Shop of Horrors over there. So this is my third show over there. Oh, no, A Christmas Carol I did in Christmas 2 years ago. So this is my fourth show at the Opera House. And it's truly extraordinary because, you know, Orson Welles started that theater.
No, I did not know that. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is way back when, and many legends like Paul Newman have played the theater in our town.
Do you see like Orson Welles and Paul Newman sitting there too one night when you're on the stage?
I wish.
Okay.
But, you know, it's truly extraordinary to be able to perform in such a legendary venue.
Oh, yeah. Now, I keep thinking everybody knows the story of 9 to 5, the musical, because you've either seen the musical when it was here or on Broadway, or you've seen the movie, and it is fairly true to the movie. But you know what? We do have listeners who probably only know the song. What's it about?
Well, it's a workplace comedy, I would say, but it also is women empowerment. And a lot of the messages in the show kind of relate to what's going on in politics today, honestly.
Because remember, this is a story that, you know, kind of premiered, the music was 1980, set in the 70s, but you're seeing the connection to today's world.
Absolutely. You know, the Franklin Hart Jr., who I portray, the Dabney Coleman role.
Right.
You know, everyone knows the movie, knows the one line that he always says, is it because I'm a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot?
And you're making that connection to the current administration how?
I'm kidding. Because, you know, it's literally everything that's been going on with the president. I kind of see a lot of heart in him. You know, it's just the way Hart treats the women in the workplace. You know, they're trying to take over the company from this, you know, jerk who is treating them like crap and, you know, just wants to do everything his way. He's a guy that started at the bottom, got up really quick to the top because connections or something. And it's just the relationships of these three girls and how they work together and take over the company and make things great again. But yeah, as I said, I kind of model Hart after the president. I know it sounds wrong, but I kind of put myself in there too.
So there you are, taking it right back to one of those real life figures you're so well known for, right? You got to.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I mean, look, I have to ask you this. The characters, it's Violet, it's Judy, it's Dora Lee, and of course it was played in the movie by Lily Tomlin, and this is from memory, and Jane Fonda, right? And and of course, Dolly Parton. So that means people who know the movie, they come looking for those characters. So do they see them?
Yes. Yeah, these actresses that are playing the roles just bring them to life, and you know, they're hysterical. I mean, it's just the way they work off of each other is brilliant. The ensemble's great. There's big musical numbers. There's fantasy sequences. There's a lot of cool things that weren't in the movie that these girls and the ensemble just it's incredible. How this has evolved over time.
And we do see it's a bit of, you kind of mentioned this, but it's sort of women's empowerment here, right? I mean, one of the lines, a girl can scheme, can't she, right? I mean, we see some empowerment.
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's a great message about, you know, what's been going on today, you know, with especially with women's empowerment and the women's march that happened. So I think this really just, women could come see this show and hold their head up high, knowing in the end, you know, they did the right thing.
You know, it's funny, on a related note, I was in New York this weekend to see Aladdin. I've got a backstage for Comcast coming up with that cast. And but even in there, this prominent theme of women can run the kingdom too. Women can do all this. And of course, to you, to me, to a lot of people, it's like, well, yeah, I don't get it. But it is. We are in this environment where those lines are getting huge applause and huge reactions because I think a lot of women just feel under threat.
Absolutely. You know, as I said, and especially in today's day and age, it's very important. I mean, look, we saw each other last night at Concert for America.
Right.
And the organizations, everything that benefits, I mean, this show kind of adds up to some of those, you know, organizations that we're trying to support. about things going on and under wages in the workplace. I mean, there were so many problems with women getting paid versus men getting paid in Hollywood. That's another issue that's raised in this show with right. women getting paid less than the men in a workplace.
So, and by the way, out of curiosity, the song 9 to 5, I know in the Broadway show, which is not you, but they actually did use Dolly's song to open it up with her music, obviously with her permission. Do you guys get to do that, or do you have to find another way?
Yeah, we do have the Dolly voiceover, actually, right. that she introduces the show. Like, you know, she really sets the point of the show and the message and everything.
Have you worked with her to do this, or is there a standard kind of way?
No. Yeah, this was actually included in the rights to the show.
Gotcha.
So
the 9 to 5, the musical, will tell people it opens March 31st at the Woodstock Opera House. It's running through April 15th. Now, that's not a long run, so do people need to make sure they're getting over there, or it might be an extension? What do we predict?
Yeah, I don't believe there will be an extension, so I recommend, you know, getting tickets now when you can.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell people how to. Just go to Woodstock. This couldn't be easier. WoodstockOperaHouse.com. WoodstockOperaHouse.com. The phone number, if you're a phone kind of person, is 815-338-5300. 815-338-5300. And, you know, I noticed as I look at the press release, it sort of talks about the show's rated PG-13. I mean, young people can come to the show. There's nothing offensive about it, right?
No, just some swearing.
Yeah, you know.
That's about it. But it's nothing they'll hear when they're older.
I was going to say, the kids are going to know it anyway. And, hey, what's exactly. next up for you? Do you have plans beyond
you know, I'm in the Blues Brothers.
Right.
Through the spring and summer.
And where can people tell people where can, you know what, I've got you. Let's promote that. Where can people catch you doing that?
Sure. We're, you know, at the festival season, I'm sorry, I can't talk today. You know, we run the festivals through the season. Our website is Blues Brothers, BLOOZE Brothers.com to see the full schedule. I know we're playing like downtown Rosemont June 1st, Arlington Heights June 23rd. We play Huntley. We play Forest Park Festival. So there's so many different festivals all over Illinois that we're playing that people could catch us at.
And people that, I mean, I think a lot of people know your work. A lot of people know your name. I'll say this sort of as we're on. As I told the producer we're going to talk to, he goes, well, I know Kevin Pollak. I know his work. You've got kind of a fan base back there. I'm a member of it and love following
Thank
what
you.
You're doing. And congratulations on all this great stuff. I love the variety of what you're getting to. And if you play Thank me one day, please do it while I'm alive.
I'll make sure to do that.
All right. We can work on that. I mean, Kevin Pollak, this show is 9 to 5, the musical at the Woodstock Musical Theater Company, presenting it at the Woodstock Opera House. Once again, WoodstockOperaHouse.com for tickets, or 815-338-5300. But it's only playing from March 31st to April 15th, so you don't want to miss it because it's probably going to sell out really quickly. Get your shows now. Kevin Pollak, amazing Chicago talent. Thank you, my friend, for joining me. Sure appreciate you.
Thanks, Paul.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PAULLISNEK. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.